Good morning. It's great to have you here today. I've been gone for like 3 weeks, and when I come back, like after a time like this, I almost feel like I need to sign the guest book. But I'm just delighted to be with my church family again today. Our scripture lesson today is taken from John 17, verses 20 to 23, and I invite you to take your Bibles and read with me. It's John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. It's here that we have Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is praying. He is praying for his disciples. He is praying for us. And he says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." What Jesus is talking about here is a very special kind of community, the kind of place where you are always welcome, the place where you are always safe. It is a place where you can come and you can relax and let your hair down. It is a place where you can honestly be yourself, warts and all, knowing that you will be loved and respected. It is a place where you can unwrap your spiritual gifts and use them in the Lord's service. It is a place where you can grow in your faith. And it is a place where you can experience God. God lives in community. In the opening lines of Scripture, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," and it is here that we are introduced to Father God. He is the source of all life. He is the one who gives to us every good and perfect gift. He is the one who delights in all of his creation. And then as we move on with the creation story, we read, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And it is here that we are introduced to God, the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that hovers over God's creation. It is the Spirit that protects and preserves all of creation. And then as the story continues, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." And Scripture tells us that this is the Son of God. It was Jesus Christ who spoke the creative word. And I find that to be such a wonderful thought, to think that it was Jesus who said, "Let there be light, let there be land and sea and plants, let there be sun and moon and stars, animals, fish, butterflies, and birds." It was Jesus who formed us and breathed into us the breath of life. And so here in the opening lines of Scripture, we are introduced to the concept of community. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit live in community. And we have a theological word that describes that kind of thing. And the word is Trinity. We have the three in one. They are three different persons, have three different personalities. They all have different roles and functions in the governance of the universe and the different things that they do. And yet they are one. They are one in the governance of the universe. They are one in creation. They are one in redemption. They are one in that they love to be with each other. And the amazing thing to me is this. Community is not only something that the Godhead does together. Community is something that rises up out of who God is. And so it comes to us as no surprise to learn that just as God lives in community, God has created you and me to live in community. As the creation story continues to unfold, we find the God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in conversation together. And they say, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." What I find here is this beautiful correlation between who God is and how he creates. And since God lives in community, he creates in community. Just as God lives in community, he has created us to live in community with him and community with each other. Well, when Adam and Eve fell, that beautiful spirit of community was disrupted. And the amazing thing to me is this. They recognized the breakdown of community between themselves long before they recognized the breakdown of community between themselves and God. They covered themselves up. They fell into arguing and bickering each other. They became hostile toward each other. And from the makeshift clothing that they sewed together with those fig leaves to the vegetable sacrifice of Cain, to the building of the Tower of Babel, to our own day, people have tried to build community on their own terms. And the net result is always a breakdown in community, a dysfunction in community. When God toppled the Tower of Babel and it came crashing down, when the people scattered, they could no longer communicate with each other. They no longer understood each other's tongue. And you would think that all hope for building a cohesive community would be forever disrupted. But we serve a God who loves, a God who never gives up on us, a God who never quits. He is a God of love. He is a God of grace. He is a God of redemption. He is a God who is seeking to build up community once again. One day, God looked out across the Fertile Crescent, and he saw a man, and he said, "That's my kind of man. He's got a heart for me, and I will use this man to demonstrate to the world what community is all about." One day, God went knocking on this man's door, and he said, "Hello, I've been watching you, and I like what I see. What is your name?" And the man said, "Well, my name is Abram." "Oh, no, no, no," God said. "That will never do anymore, because from now on, I am going to call you Abraham. Instead of being the father of one family, one tribe, one clan, I'm going to make you the father of nations. I am going to use you to bless the whole world and bring the world back together into community." And God absolutely poured everything he had into building up that community. He sent them prophets, he sent them judges, he sent them kings, and in desperate times, he even sent them into captivity so that they would learn the all-important lessons of faith and trust in him. And finally, the day came when he sent himself. God himself showed up. He clothed himself in humanity, and through his entire life and teachings and ministries, Jesus demonstrated what community is all about. He gathered a group of men around himself. He called them his disciples, and with them he started to build a whole new kind of community. He taught them. He prayed with them. He encouraged them. And still, they just didn't get it at all. All the way up the stairs to the upper room, they argued, they bickered with each other as to who was going to be the most important in the kingdom. And what did Jesus do? He took off his outer coat. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He grabbed a basin of water and washed their feet in the greatest demonstration of servant leadership we have ever seen. Later that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed. And the thrust of his prayer was for his disciples then and now. And the thrust of his prayer was that they would live in community and experience community. The same kind of community that is shared in the Godhead. The same kind of community that was built into the Edenic family. And Jesus prayed, "Oh God, may they come together so that the world will see the power of the gospel. We'll see that the gospel is true because only God can make something like this happen." From Calvary's cross, Jesus reaches out to us and he calls us to come together in community. The vertical beam reminds us that Jesus' gift brings us into reconciliation with God. And the horizontal beam, it reminds us that Jesus' gift brings us into reconciliation with each other. With outstretched arms, Jesus invites us to come back into community. He invites us to experience love together. In the early Christian church, God showcased community to the world in a significant way. In Acts chapter 2, we are told that those early Christian believers were devoted to the teaching of the apostles. They were devoted to fellowship with each other. They were devoted to Christian ministry and ministering to each other's needs. And they were devoted to evangelism. They did everything they could to share the love of Jesus Christ with family members and friends and enlarge the church. And the church did grow. Explosive growth took place. And the point of the story here that is so important is this. When there is a quality of community in the church down below that reflects the quality of community that is seen in the Godhead, there's a synergy that takes place. The church becomes this magnetic center that draws in all kinds of people to experience the love of God. In the closing lines of Scripture, we are told that the day is soon coming when God's community down here will become God's community up there. And I can hardly wait for that day when we are gathered around the throne of God. I want to see God's face that day. I want to see Him grinning from ear to ear. I want to experience the joy that fills His heart to know that the family is finally together again, that the community is finally complete. One pulse of harmony will beat throughout God's creation, and everyone around will declare that God is love. Building up community is God's great passion. And if we have a heart for God and the things of God, we will have to ask ourselves a very important question. What can you and I do today to help build up community? And there's five things on my list. The first of these is this. We must learn to love each other the same way Jesus loves us. Jesus says, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What we are talking about here is a quality of love that enables me to love other people just the way they are. After all, this world is filled with all kinds of people. People who are very different from you and me. And yet Jesus has called us to love them. Jesus calls us to love those who are disabled. People who face some of the toughest challenges of life and their families that surround them and struggle to do what they can to give them a better life. So this afternoon, I hope you will be with us here at 1:30 for our Disabilities Awareness Seminar, because this will give us an opportunity to develop a heart for hurting people and develop very practical skills so that we can be helpful friends there. Sharing this kind of love of Jesus with others means that we learn to become comfortable with a wide variety of people, including the smartly dressed executive in his business suit, and being just as comfortable with him as we are with the mentally disabled man who lives under a bridge. It means that we learn to make this church a comfortable place for everyone, especially the children, the teenagers, and the young adults. We need to make sure that it's even more comfortable for them than it is for those of us who are in their 50s, 60s, and older. When we have the love of Jesus in our hearts and we share it with each other, we make sure that that awkward teenage boy and the church drama queen and the church leader who's trying so hard and the guy in the Sabbath school class who's quiet and never says a word and that hyperactive kid who runs up and down the hallways, we make sure that they all know that they are loved and respected and appreciated, that they have an important place here in our church family. That's the kind of thing that builds up Christian community. The second thing on my list is this. We must share ministry together. We must share ministry together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are told that we are the body of Christ. We all are in this together. We are a team. God has given each of us spiritual gifts. And he says, you don't operate with these gifts in isolation. You're not supposed to run a one-person show. You got to do it together. Well, there's a story told of a man who didn't understand this concept. He was a bricklayer. And one day he found himself with 500 pounds of brick on top of a four-story building, and somehow he had to get them down to the sidewalk below. Well, he tried to do it all by himself, And here's the story as he put it on his insurance claim. He said, "It would have taken too long to carry the bricks down by hand, so I decided to put them in a barrel and lower them by a pulley, which I had fastened to the top of the building. After tying the rope securely at the ground level, I went out to the top of the building. I fastened the rope around the barrel, loaded it with bricks, and swung it out over the sidewalk for the descent. Then I went down to the sidewalk and untied the rope, holding it securely to guide the barrel down slowly. But since I weigh only 140 pounds, the 500-pound load jerked me up from the ground so fast, I didn't have time to think about letting it go of the rope. And as I passed between the second and third floors, I met the barrel coming down. This accounts for the bruises and lacerations on my upper body. I held tightly to the rope until I reached the top, where my hand became jammed in the pulley. This accounts for my broken thumb. At the same time, however, the barrel hit the sidewalk with a bang and the bottom fell out. With the weight of the bricks gone, the barrel weighed only about 40 pounds. Thus, my 140-pound body began a swift descent, and I met the empty barrel coming up. This accounts for my broken ankle. Slowly, only slightly, I continued the descent and landed on the pile of bricks. This accounts for my sprained back and broken collarbone. At this point, I lost my presence of mind completely and let go of the rope, and the empty barrel came crashing down on me. This accounts for my head injuries. As for the last question on the form, what would you do if the same situation arose again? Please be advised that I am finished trying to do the job alone. Enough said? Enough said. Don't ever try to do the job by yourself, because you were meant to be in a team. You were meant to do ministry together and thus help build up the body of Jesus Christ. The third thing that we can see here that is so important when it comes to building up community is servant leadership. All too often, we take our leadership models from the business community, where the leader is the boss, and the boss tells everyone around where they get on and where they can get off, and there are no questions asked. And Jesus says to us, there's a better way to do business. There's a better way to do church. He says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus is looking for men and women and children today who aren't bossy souls telling everyone where to go and what to do and how to do it and how to breathe and dress and look. I mean, we're talking about being a team and working together and each of us taking our roles. We're talking about the ability to roll up our sleeves and work alongside with each other and get the job done. There's a wonderful story that comes out of the American Revolution. There was a group of bone-weary soldiers that were working to repair this wall, and their supervisor was standing off to the side, barking out orders, when all of a sudden along came a very plainly dressed man. The plainly dressed man looked down from his horse and said, "So what are you guys doing?" And they said, "We are patching up this wall. We're trying to make it safe for war." And then he turned to the man in charge and said, "So why aren't you helping them out?" He stood up to his full 5'10" and squared his shoulders, and he said, "Sir, I am the corporal." With that, the man on the horse got down, rolled up his sleeves, and went to work helping those men to rebuild the wall. And when he was done, he turned to the man and said, "Corporal, my name is General Washington. And I want you to know that anytime you have a job like this that needs to be done again and you need help, I'm happy to come here and work with you." That's what we need more of in the church today. People willing to roll up their sleeves, work alongside the saints, and help get the job done. Servant leadership is such an important part of building up community. The fourth thing that we can see that helps to build up community is small groups. Small groups have always been an important way of getting big things done in the church. Small groups have always been an important part of building community. Have you ever stopped to think of it? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit live in a small group, don't they? Jesus and his disciples were in a small group. The early Christian believers often met together in small groups. The early Seventh-day Adventists frequently came together and met in small groups. In fact, they called them social meetings. These were so important to the life of the church that one of our pioneers said, "The formation of small companies as a basis for Christian effort is a plan that has been presented by one who cannot err." This is so important to the life of the church today because we all need a place where we can meet with a few friends and say, "God's doing wonderful things. Celebrate with me the victories that God has given." A place where we can go and say, "I'm sunk, I'm hurting, I'm scared, I need your love, I need your support, I need your prayers," and know that there will be brothers and sisters who will help you through the journey and encourage you all the way through. We all need that kind of thing. And we need all kinds of small groups going in the life of the church today. We need Bible study groups and prayer groups and support groups and recovery groups. And we need ministry groups and work groups and all kinds of groups to make the life of the church go forward because it's such an important part of building up community. The last thing that I have on my list today for building up community is evangelism. In the Gospel Commission, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." See, God wants to build up his community. He wants more and more men and women and children coming into his community. And so God has asked us to be part of that. Because it's not just about us. We're not here just to be a social club and hang out with each other and enjoy Christian friendship. We are here to build up the community and bring more and more people into that. And you know, as we do this kind of thing, amazing things happen in the life of the church. For one thing, we get to be friends with each other because we learn to work together with each other. And we develop this laser-sharp focus and momentum gets going in our church. All kinds of things happen. But the most exciting thing of it all is knowing that men and women and children are being won for Jesus Christ, and they are coming to join us in this community, this growing community of faith. There's a familiar story told of a woman who saved. She scraped and saved and put the money together to take a once-in-a-lifetime trip to Europe. And she saw it all. The castles, the cathedrals, the museums, the art galleries. But the thing that she most wanted to see was Westminster Abbey. She joined a tour group and she saw all those places where royalty has been buried. She saw all those places where the great people of England have been buried. She learned about the building and the history and all the significant events that have taken place in that building. And the farther she got into the tour, the more she found herself muttering under her breath, "I thought this was supposed to be a church. I thought this was supposed to be a church." So finally she raised her hand and she stopped the tour guide in mid-sentence. She said, "Young man, this is all very good. This is all very interesting, but there's one thing I want to know. Has anyone been saved around here lately?" Good question. Because this is a church, not a historical society, not some piece of antiquity, not a social club. This is God's church. This is a place where people get saved. This is a place where we build up community. In fact, I will go so far as to say that building up community is the single most important thing that we do in the Healdsburg Seventh-day Adventist Church. The single most important thing we do. Because we're talking about building community with God. We're talking about building community with each other. We're talking about building community by inviting our friends from across the community to join us here. And really, when you stop to think of it, these are the three core values of the Healdsburg Seventh-day Adventist Church. I wonder if there's anyone here today who's saying, "Yeah, this is important. This is important to God. And this is important to me. Today, I want to make a commitment to a growing, developing relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, I want to make a commitment to a growing, developing relationship with my church family. Today, I want to make a commitment that I will interact with and participate in and be part of the life of my community for the purpose of making friends and developing a contact point and developing a friendship there so that I have a bridge in which to invite them to come over and be part of our community here. Anybody say, yeah, count me in. I'm going to be part of building community for God. If you'll do that, would you just raise your hand? I'm going to be a community builder. Let's pray. Father in heaven,